Our second scripture reading is from the letter of James, chapter 1, verses 17 through 27. And we're actually going to spend the next few weeks, I think through the end of September, looking at the letter of James. Not a letter that we look at all that often, but it's in the lectionary cycle right now, and it's a great letter. So we're going to start just with this portion from chapter 1, and I invite you again to hear the word of the Lord. James writes, "Every generous act of giving, with every perfect gift, is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A few weeks ago, Jen was telling me about an article that someone had posted in a mother's group online. And the author of the article, she was talking about how we live in a much more casual society, and how she has experienced a lot of her children's friends calling her by her first name. So she's talking in this article about, you know, "I understand this casual society we're in," but she's saying, "I want to teach my children, raise my children to show respect to adults, teaching them to address adults by their last name, Mr. Marshall, Mrs. Marshall, instead of by their first names, Mr. Patrick, Miss Jen, or simply Patrick or Jen." She talked about how she didn't want her kids' friends calling her by her first name, that there should be boundaries between children and adults, that calling someone by their first name is an honor that should be reserved for someone's peers. And she said, "Children are not my peers." She ended the article by saying this. She said, "This is my personal preference. This is how I want to raise my children. I'm not even on a first-name basis with my doctor, so please don't be offended." And of course, what happened? People were offended. This long conversation arose in the comments section where some people were saying, "Okay, if you teach your kids to call me Mr. Marshall, but I want them to call me Patrick, shouldn't you respect my wishes?" Other people said, "I don't want my kids to use any gendered titles like Mr. or Mrs., to which other parents said, "That's stupid, that's just ridiculous," not framing it in a very nice way. Some parents said, "I would be offended if kids called me by my first name," while other parents said, "I would be offended if kids called me Mr. or Mrs." And I'm thinking, offended? Why are we getting offended by this? Someone wrote an article expressing her personal preference, and all these people took it as a personal affront. Then Target announced that they would no longer separate the toys in their stores into girls' sections and boys' toys sections. Right? They would have doll aisles, action figure aisles, Lego aisles, game aisles, just all the girls' and boys' toys mixed in together, and people were outraged. So many people went online to tell Target that they would never shop at their stores again, that they were offended that they had bowed down to this politically correct culture and by making this gesture. It's like this whole debate over the Confederate flag that's been going on for the past few months. There are people who say, that flag is offensive to me and it should be taken down. And there are other people who say, I'm offended that you're offended by this symbol of my heritage. Well, I'm offended that you're offended that I'm offended about this. And it just goes on and on and on. I am offended that your bakery will not make a wedding cake for these two men who want to get married. Well, I'm offended that you would expect me to, because that's against my beliefs. We've seen all these conversations playing out in the media. It seems like everybody in our culture is so easily offended by everything on all sides. This is conservative, liberal, whatever, it doesn't matter. We live in a culture of outrage, where if we don't agree with something, we get offended by it, we get angry about it, we take it so personally, even if it has nothing to do with us directly. Even if it's just someone expressing their personal opinion or preference, there's this feeling like the implication behind your opinion is that my opinion is wrong, and who are you to tell me that I'm wrong? And the internet makes it so easy for people to express their outrage and offense. It's like it provides this instant forum for outrage. It makes it so easy to react with anger rather than respond patiently and thoughtfully. Maybe I'm looking in the wrong places, but I don't see a lot of thoughtful reflection and dialogue taking place in our culture. It seems like the exception to the rule. For the most part, people are angry about a lot of things, and they are quick to show it. It's almost like we feed off of it, like we enjoy being outraged. I mean, the popularity of debate shows on television, whether it's sports or politics, anything, we feed off of this sense of outrage. And the hard part, for me at least, is that so many Christians are taking part in this, if not leading the charge altogether. So many Christians are so easily offended and publicly express their outrage if anyone voices an idea or an opinion that differs from what we believe. And when we do that, people who are not Christians, they see it. And it reflects, unfortunately, not just on the person who is expressing their outrage, it reflects back on all of us, on our faith, and on God. Now, there are definitely instances where we need to take a stand and express our outrage at the grave injustices that we see taking place in the world around us. We should be outraged at racism, that is still a part of our culture today. We should be outraged that slavery still exists in the world today. We should be outraged by mass shootings far more than we actually are. There are some things that so egregiously violate the basic humanity of our fellow man that we should voice our outrage. Jesus certainly did that at times in the Gospels. And you could argue he even does it here in this reading from Mark with the Pharisees. It's what author Shane Claiborne refers to as righteous anger. But there's a difference between slavery and the toy section at Target. So where do we draw the line? Between what's worth being outraged over and what's not. There has to be a balance somewhere in there. How do we find that distinction? What these scripture readings show us today is that we find that balance when we take the time to listen, to go deeper below the surface with the issue and with each other. Let me show you what I mean. In the story of Jesus from Mark's Gospel, the Pharisees are offended because Jesus' disciples do not perform a certain ritual washing of their hands before they eat. So the Pharisees are offended by that. Jesus is upset that they are offended, and he calls them hypocrites. Now, typically, we think of a hypocrite as someone who says one thing but does another, someone who doesn't practice what they preach. That's how we understand that. But that's not what's going on here. The Pharisees aren't telling other people to do things that they themselves aren't doing. The Pharisees were a group of Jewish religious leaders who lived in strict obedience to God's law. And their main purpose, the whole point that this group existed, the whole reason they existed, was to help the people of Israel live out God's law too. So they lived it, and we're going to help you live it out. That's why they were Pharisees. Right? So it's not that the Pharisees aren't practicing what they preach. They are. They're doing all of this, and they're telling others to do it too. They're saying, this is the law of God, so we all need to be doing this. Except that it wasn't. It says in verse 3, the Pharisees do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And the Pharisees asked Jesus in verse 5, why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands? Keep talking about this tradition of the elders. There are 613 commandments that God gave to Moses that formed the Jewish law. Right? But what happened then was that people started asking, okay, it says not to work on the Sabbath. We get that, but what counts as work? What can we do? What can we not do? Or God gave us this law, but what about this situation? Does that law still apply? Or how do we live out this law in this situation that Scripture doesn't talk about? What do we do there? So the elders, some of the first religious leaders of the people of Israel, interpreted the law and came up with this whole oral tradition of interpretations. So there was the written law that God gave to Moses, but then there is also this set of oral tradition of interpretations from the elders. Washing hands thoroughly before eating a meal, and these other things that it mentions, washing these vessels that they're using to cook and eat with, it was apparently a part of the oral tradition of the elders. So it's not that Jesus' disciples were breaking God's law. They just weren't keeping up all this other stuff in addition to the law. So Jesus calls them hypocrites. That was the word that Greeks used for actors. An actor in a play, they're called hypocrites. Hypokrites. I think that's right. Hypokrites. And one of the things that an actor does is to interpret their role. How should I play this character? What are his motivations? How do I say this line? Is this character happy, sad, angry? Actors interpret. Maybe Jesus isn't criticizing them for being hypocritical the way that we tend to think of it. Maybe he's criticizing them for emphasizing the interpretation of God's law more than the law itself. For saying that this tradition of the elders is as important as the law that God gave directly. Jesus quotes Isaiah, criticizing them for teaching human precepts as law. So you're teaching these human ideas as if it was the law that God gave to us. The Pharisees aren't upset because the disciples aren't keeping the law. They're upset because the disciples aren't keeping their understanding of the law. So many times when we get offended or outraged or angry about something, it's not because the person is doing something inherently wrong. Sometimes, but not always. A lot of times it's because they aren't doing what we think they should be doing, the way that we think they should be doing it. They aren't abiding by our understanding of things. So Target doesn't have girls' toy aisles or boy toy aisles anymore. There's nothing inherently wrong with that. There's no law that says that has to be the case. It's their store. They can do what they want. But people are outraged and offended because it doesn't fit with their understanding of how the world has been structured for a long time and should be structured now. You want kids to call you by your first name. There's nothing inherently wrong with that. It's not against the law. But people get upset because it doesn't fit with their understanding of how relationships should be structured. So often, the thing that we're upset about isn't actually what we're upset about. So Jesus tells the Pharisees they need to go a little deeper. beneath the surface. He says, there is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile him, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery. He lists off all these other things, and he says, all of these things come from within, and they defile a person. Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, you're focused on the wrong thing. You're focused on these surface acts. But what you really need to be paying attention to is the heart. Yeah, my disciples aren't washing their hands, but their hearts are right with God. You are washing your hands, your hearts are far from God, he says. So Jesus is upset with the Pharisees because he's saying, before you get upset with someone about something, you need to stop and think about why you're upset. You need to slow down and go a little deeper. And this is exactly what James ends up saying a little bit later in his letter. It says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. What would it look like the next time you get angry, offended, upset, before you say anything and react out of your anger or outrage, to stop and listen to this other person? Learn where they're coming from, why they're doing what they're doing, why they're thinking the way they're thinking. If instead of being quick to criticize and condemn them, you're slow to speak, ask yourself, why am I really upset here? Is it because of this thing that they're doing? Or is it because of something deeper inside of me? This is how we balance the culture of outrage and the outrage within ourselves. This is how we discern what is really worth getting upset over, between what is truly holy anger and what is simply righteous indignation. If we can slow down, go a little deeper beneath the surface issue, and truly listen to God, to this other person, and to our own hearts, if we can truly take the time to do that, and we find that our anger is still there, then it may be worth it. But we may find that what needs to be cleansed isn't out there, but in here. Let's pray. Help us, Lord, to slow down, to have discerning hearts and minds about why we get upset, what we're truly upset about. We pray that your Spirit would give us the wisdom that we need to discern what is worth getting upset over and what is not. Help us know what to do with our anger, with our outrage. Help us to see the things that deserve outrage and need to be changed. Let us step in and speak up. But let us do so prayerfully, thoughtfully, always following the guidance of your Spirit, discerning what is your will for this situation. Help us to be slow to speak, slow to anger, and focused always, as best we can, on the right things. We ask this in the name of your Son, our Savior Jesus.